Good morning and welcome, everybody. This morning I'll be doing a reading from John 14, 5 to 11. Jesus, the way to the Father. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves."
There's a meme that you might come across on various social media channels, and it's always a picture of two people looking down at a number on the ground. And from one person's perspective, it looks like it's a 9. And from the other person's perspective, it looks like it's a 6. And they're arguing back and forth, "No, it's a 9, no, it's a 6, no, it's a 9, no, it's a 6. And then often it's accompanied by something like, "Just because you are right does not mean I am wrong. You haven't seen life from my side." The question is often asked, how do you know which number this is? Does it actually matter which number it is? Who's right on this? Is it a person in a particular spot? Who gets to determine who is right and who is wrong? Is there a right and is there a wrong? Where does that fit? Well, one of the questions that you could actually ask is, who wrote it? Who drew the number to start with? Surely it's not the people looking at it that necessarily know what the answer is. Perhaps you need to go and ask the person who drew the number. Did they draw a 6 and it happens to look like a 9? Or did they draw a 9 and it happens to look like a 6? Surely it's got to be one or the other. I mean, what if in talking to the person who drew it, they come and say, "Actually, it could be either. I'm happy for it to be both and. It could be a 6. It could be a 9. Maybe it's something else entirely. It just happens to look like a 6 or a 9. Does it have to be either or? We're in our series looking at world religions, coming to look at the different ways of faith, different ideas. Many, if not most of you here today, probably ascribe to the Christian faith, or at very least you're exploring it, you're thinking about it, you're wondering whether it's true. But we do actually make up only about 10% of the population. That worldwide now, it's actually, you know, normally you're going to have about 90% of people follow some other way of thinking, whether that's an active faith or it's just an agnosticism, an uncertainty about exactly what's going on. And so we thought as a church we might take some time to help you understand the water that you swim in, to help you have a bit of an understanding of where people might be coming from who hold other ways of thinking. And so today we're going to pick on New Age spirituality. It's kind of a large faith that actually doesn't have a lot of people that would tick this box on the census. And we'll come to that as we go through. But in many ways, New Age spirituality is what happens when Eastern mysticism melds with Western rationalism. Two big words. I'm not going to spend a lot of time unpacking those, but really that is at the heart of New Age spirituality. Eastern mysticism is melding with Western rationalism. And why I think today is actually really important. If you weren't here last week, you won't know this. I actually chose not to preach last week. So you're like, "Oh, we could have been there and didn't preach. Didn't have to listen." But the reason why I chose not to go through it is we did have a lot of people away for Mother's Day, which is fine. But the reality is, as I put this message together, it struck me just how much New Age spirituality is at the absolute heart of the culture we live in. That so much of what makes up New Age spirituality actually defines and explains the culture and the time that we live in, that I thought it was really important to actually look at this one together when I knew we'd actually have more of us here today. So let's dig in and try and understand what is New Age spirituality. But to do that, I've got to go to a very difficult place. And I can tell you, I've actually been working on this particular section for months, trying to work out how to explain this part. Because one of the realities of New Age spirituality is that there are different ways of thinking in our world. There's the Western way of thinking, and there's an Eastern way of thinking. And you may not have even countered the idea that there are different ways of thinking. There are different logics. There are different understandings. But the reality is there are some very different ways of actually understanding what's going on in the world. And you will not understand New Age spirituality and what's at the heart of it if you can't at least appreciate that there's another way of thinking. So what's at the heart of these differences is, well, one is that Western view. And if you're from the West, you're probably going to say the correct view, but let's just hold that for the moment. The Western view is either or. It's either a 6 or it's a 9. It cannot be both. Someone had to have written it. There's an answer. There's a reason. You follow the logic, you'll get to the answer. Eventually, there is observable truth, objective truth. It's just the way it is. Now, the Western way of thinking tends to be individualist. This is why in Western countries, you will find a lot of people who really, really care about individual freedoms, about you having your individual rights, and nobody can impinge on my individual rights. It's a Western way of thinking. Truth is at the heart of Western thinking, that there is a truth, there's an objective truth, and there is one truth. And you've got to try and find that. And it's generally logical in a Greek logic way. Now, that you're sort of going, yeah, that's right. That's how the world works, right? That's probably what you're thinking because you live in the West. There is actually an entirely different way of thinking. And as someone from the West, like I said, I've been trying to work out for months how to explain this because it is really hard to express. Because I'm actually talking to something that is just, we just think that that's the way things operate. But if you were to go to, you know, your Far East Asia or within most of our Asian countries, they typically have an Eastern worldview. And they actually think completely differently. An Eastern worldview tends to be more towards a both and. They would look at that meme of the 6 and the 9 and be completely comfortable in it being both and would actually be really uncomfortable with you saying it has to be one or the other. In many ways, it can be both and or it can also be neither nor, just to mess with you a bit more. Eastern worldview tends to be what's called collectivist. That means they're more interested in what's good for the collective than for the individual. So you will find that in many of these places, they're not that worried about an individual person's rights. They're more interested in making sure that the collective is looked after and that decisions are made from a collectivist perspective. So individuals may find themselves completely put to the side for the betterment of the greater good, as they might say. In this culture, family is absolutely essential. And really fighting to keep family together and united. And also harmony, but not in the way that we would think of harmony. I'm not even going to try and explain how harmony fits in that space. But harmony is at the heart. They do not want conflict, except that sometimes they will go to conflict to get harmony, which, again, we do that too in the West. But that's a different way of looking at it. Now, why is this important? Some of the things that actually go on with this is an Eastern worldview still recognizes that contradictions exist. So it's sometimes people say, oh, they just don't believe in contradiction. No. They will see that there is something that contradicts. 1 + 1 can't equal 3. So 1 + 1 = 2. 1 + 1 = 11. Hang on a second, which one is it? But they don't feel the need to resolve the contradiction. In the West, if we see two statements that don't match, that don't line up, we will say one of them is wrong. And we will explore, we will test, we'll do experiments to try and work out where it was wrong. An Eastern worldview is just not concerned about the existence of contradictions. One actually relatively easy way of expressing this, to give a bit of an idea of where this actually fits really well, if you take the Trinity, the theology of the Trinity, you know, just a small one, and so the idea of the Trinity is that there is one God in three distinct individual persons. There's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit. Now, if you come from a Western country, generally speaking, you tend to just get to the point where you just have to go, I don't know how it works, but it just is, because that's what the Bible teaches. It's one God, it's three persons, it's contradiction, but it's just kind of there. If you come from an Eastern way of thinking, that is no problem whatsoever. It won't even rattle their brains. It won't even be something they have to think about. It just makes perfect sense. Now, one of the reasons why this is important as well, this is a bit of an aside, but I wanted to go there, is one of the reasons we actually struggle with the Old Testament sometimes is historical Judaism, though we often think of Judaism as a Western religion because of where they are, Judaism is actually written from an Eastern perspective. One of the reasons why we struggle with the Old Testament is we try and read it through the lens of a Western logical scientific reason, when the writers of the Old Testament just did not have that view in mind. They are completely comfortable with the idea that Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 seem to be two completely different stories of creation. And there is no concern about that there, because it's just a very different way of thinking. That's one of the challenges. New Testament, written by the Greeks, Western thinking, all logical, all makes sense. And that's one of the challenges with actually reading the Old Testament. Let's dig into New Age spirituality and get a bit of a feel for what's going on there. Now, what is New Age spirituality? Now, New Age, if you didn't know, this refers to the astrological age. So in astrological thinking, there's different ages. Each age lasts about 2,160 years. And so you move from age to age. This is your star signs, your Pisces, your Aquarius. Each astrological age is given the name of one of those star signs. So at the moment, we're moving from the Piscean age, go Pisces, into the age of Aquarius. So in about 2150, so I say we're moving into it, it's still like 100 years away. But when you're talking about an age being 2,160 years, 100 years is actually towards the end of the age. And so that's where the name of New Age came from. There is an expectation that as we move from the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius, things will change dramatically. And so New Age spirituality is trying to get people ready for what the world will look like from their perspective when this new age actually comes. So another thing that goes along with that is that this is a compilation of metaphysical Eastern influenced thought systems. So they're kind of looking at all of the aspects that make up the world from an Eastern perspective and trying to think through what that might look like. Now, the idea of New Age spirituality is to unite theology, the study of God, nature, everything that's around us, and philosophy, and trying to meld it together in one kind of simple way so that everything makes sense, everything lines up. You might hear about, you know, everyone being one with the world or one with nature. That is a New Age principle that's trying to find what is the theology or what is the theory that unites everything and brings everything together. It centers on religious tolerance. So the idea within New Age spirituality, and we'll dig into this a bit more as well, is actually there's all kinds of truth. There's truth everywhere. And so part of our job to discover what it means to be in the New Age spirituality is to actually be able to accept truth wherever you find it. And because it's from an Eastern perspective, it doesn't actually matter if those truths don't line up. Because remember, it's not a problem. You don't feel the need to resolve contradiction. You can sit in the tension of different viewpoints that don't make sense from a Western perspective. So it centers on these things and live and let live. I think I'm stealing my thunder. The other thing that makes this difficult is that there is no centralized hierarchy. It's not like the Catholic Church where you can go to the Pope, or the Christian Church where you can go to the Bible, or many other religions, like, you know, Islam has the Quran. There is no central hierarchy. There's no central doctrines. There's no accepted canon of books. There's no membership. There's no New Age church that you can go and say, what does New Age believe? It's actually part of the strength of New Age spirituality is that there is actually nothing to tie to anything central. It can really be ubiquitous and go anywhere and everywhere, and anything and anyone can be a part of it at any time. There's no membership. The other thing is, though it's called New Age spirituality and it's about the New Age, it's been around for a very long time, but in its current iteration, it's really something that started to come out in the 1800s. So in the 1800s, there was a new raising up of thoughts around this because we're coming towards the end of the age, and that was where it really started to pick up. A person by the name of Emma Curtis Hopkins was one of the earliest writers. She would call herself a theologian and a spiritualist that was kind of exploring and trying to understand what is the truth in the world, looking at all the different religions and trying to piece pictures together to kind of make a bigger picture around that. A guy called Andrew Jackson Davis, he was a spiritualist leader, and that was when they actually formed around a group called the Spiritualists. He was actually a very key figure. Another key figure is a guy called H.P. Blavatsky and Henry Steele Olcott. Probably doesn't mean much to you, but that's a thing called theosophy. So if you ever find anything called theosophy, again, this was a big thing in the 1800s moving into the 1900s, it was kind of taking theology and philosophy and bringing them together. And so these were two key thinkers in that space. One of the most recent ones, looking at modern versions, really took off in the 1970s. So what we look at as New Age spirituality today really started picking up in the 1970s. And if you actually talked to people before the 1970s, it wasn't even necessarily a phrase that was used, because it was only really in the 1980s that this area kind of merged in and around the phrase New Age spirituality. So if you're around before the 1980s, I wasn't, so I can't speak to it. But if you were, and you might be going, that wasn't a thing back in my day, you would actually be right. It was a thought, but it didn't have this name. It wasn't under the same guise. It's really only been in the last 30 or 40 years that this phrase has really taken top. How was it developed? How has it come out? Well, it's all about mind, body, and spirit, and working out ways of bringing those together, bringing the mind in consultation with the body, in consultation with the spirit, and exploring those, but without any boundaries on them. See, mind, body, and spirit is what Christianity is about. This is not to say that these things are bad, but it's at the heart of what New Age spirituality is about. Yes, this is true, and this is where it sort of came from in the 1970s. Free love, sex and drugs played an essential role in the development of what is now New Age spirituality. It was absolutely a serious part of the original movement. You'll find a lot of the thinkers in this space now don't necessarily encourage that. They're not going out there and telling you to go and do all these things so that you can become one with all that is. But absolutely who they're building on was a big part of the early days of the movement. And absolutely drugs, psychedelics, were a very essential part of the developments in the 1970s and 1980s, that you actually, if you took drugs, if you got on different ones, that was how you could get a peak experience with God. Drugs were seen as a gateway into the spiritual realm. And so you would get high on different psychedelics, have your experiences with God. Then when you came down from your high, you would document them, because from that thinking, you actually have been in an experience with the world, with all that is, or with some kind of a spiritual experience. And so they wouldn't say it's because you had that on a high. It would actually be, no, that's what I needed to do so that I could get close to God. Some other things that go into the development of this is people started to channel messages, if you've heard about these before. They would believe that they talked to Seth. Seth was one of Adam and Eve's kids. They believed that they talked to the Archangel Gabriel. Some said that they had visions of a person called Rumpho, which is a big thing in some of the Near Eastern religions. Some people even said that they had visions of conversations with Jesus Christ himself. So again, you would, on your drugs, on your trip, or whatever it was, you would have visions of these things and you would be convinced that you were speaking with these people. And so if you were speaking with these people, you would actually take seriously what they have to say. And so that is where some of the teaching around this came from. There are no key texts. There is no Bible. There is no Quran, like I said before. The truth can be found anywhere. And so many people who explore New Age spirituality are actually dabbling in many faiths. They'll pick a little bit of Christianity and a little bit of Islam and a little bit of Buddhism and a little bit of Hinduism and a little bit of New Age spirituality of its own stuff. Because the point is just to find what works for you. The point is to find what seems to sit with you comfortably. It's funny that it comes from an Eastern perspective, but a lot of the thinking is actually about coming to your own view on what these things. And so if you remember at the start, I said it's a melding of New Eastern, Near Eastern mysticism and Western rationalism. That's where the Western aspect's starting to come into it. A key writing was a book called A Course in Miracles, written by a person called Helen Schumann, talking about her experiences as she went into different places. And there's some interesting stuff there. The Seth Material by Jane Roberts, that was the person who believed that they actually were speaking to Seth on one of their drug trips. And what have I got? There's another one. If I click over here, it'll work. And then also the individual New Age philosophies, they have their own important texts. So again, because there is no central hierarchy, there's lots of different ways of actually making this work. There are some key beliefs. And so I want to take a little bit of time to look at some of those key beliefs. Again, not everyone who is in the New Age spirituality would agree with every one of these beliefs. But on the whole, most New Age spirituality would agree with the principles behind these. One of the key ones is the idea of the evolutionary Godhead. That the next step in evolution, so evolution is all good and everything about it is true and correct, and the next step in evolution is not going to be a physical one. We're at the end, we're at the very completion of all that is the physical. The next part of evolution is going to be spiritual. And so as we move into the new age, our spirituality is going to come to life and we're going to discover new things in the spiritual realm. And so constantly moving humankind towards God consciousness. Some New Age spirituality believes in a God outside of our culture. Some New Age spirituality suggests that we are God. And part of the whole premise of this is to discover the own God inside of us and to discover how we are one with God. And that's part of the principles that you would look towards. Now, what comes from that is there is a desire for global unity. That what we're trying to do is find the spiritual path that would unite the world together. If we could just let people do what they want to do and be who they want to be, we would become united, we would actually become really set. This is what will bring peace and enlightenment. We need to reunite humans with God, discovering that we are in fact God, and that we're currently estranged from God due to our own lack of insight concerning God's real nature and reality. So explore, take some things that help you get into that place to unite it all together. Some other things that are about unity and harmony. I talked about harmony being a key thing before. We want humans to be unified with humans, living in pure harmony, that every human would get along with every human, and the best way to do that is just let every human do what every human wants to do. Because then you will be happy, then you will be content, because there's nothing holding you back from doing or experiencing what you want to experience. But we also want humans united with nature, living in pure harmony, that we would live in such a way that we make the world a thriving metropolis and that everything is going well together, everything is living and harmony and going well. And we want humans unified with God. When we live in harmony with nature, And when we live in harmony with each other, we will discover our own divine goodness. And in doing so, we will be united with God. Some of the key beliefs behind this are also, it's, you know, what's called feel-goodism. Do what feels good. The best thing you can do is do whatever feels good whenever it feels good to do it, as long as you're not hurting someone else. Key aspect of New Age spirituality. There is nothing to stop you doing anything as long as it isn't hurting someone else. And so you should. You should go and do whatever you want to do. But again, there's no key text. There's no objective truth. There's no thing to discover. This is the way it is. So as long as you're comfortable, as long as you're not hurting someone else, give it a go. See what happens. It's what's called moral relativism. Situational ethics. What's right for me may not be right for you. What's truth for me may not be truth for you. What's moral for me may not be moral for you. So you need to discover your own morality, your own principles to live by, and you may find that they change. So in one season, being monogamous might be a really good way of living. But then down the track, you may find that monogamy gets in the way of your happiness. So you should step away from that. And if not what monogamy means, it's being married to one person. And so in this season, you might say it's perfectly good that you're married to one person. But in 10 years' time, if the feelings go away, well, actually, what's best for me now is to actually move on. Sorry, that hurts you, but that's what's best for me at this time. Everything changes because there is nothing central to come back to. Another key one in this space is pluralism. It's universal tolerance. The idea is live and let live. Everyone should be accepted no matter who they are and what they're doing. Just don't worry about the fact that that doesn't always mesh together. Remember, we don't care about... I can't say that because that's not true. I'm trying to present the best view of this and I'm struggling because I have a hard time. But the reality is they would say, okay, there are times that will clash, but you don't need to resolve contradiction. You can hold the contradiction in place that universally accepting one group means that you might universally exclude another group. And that's actually okay as long as your goal is universal tolerance. You want to try and accept everyone in every time, in every way for who they are. It doesn't actually matter that that naturally excludes someone else. We just hold that intention. And then also reality. In New Age spirituality, individuals create their own reality through their thoughts, through their beliefs, and through their expectations. If you remove a central way of understanding and believing in something to come back to, it actually naturally means that the individual is the person who determines who they are, what they do, where they go, what they believe. And so New Age spirituality is very, very comfortable saying your reality is the reality that you make for yourself. If you don't like the reality you live in, you should change it because you are in control of your own reality. No one else can fix your reality. No one else can change your reality. Do the best that you can within that space. So one of the key things that I hope you're going to take away from this is that it's actually not a dominant religion. If you look at the census results, New Age spirituality marks down in like the single figure digits. It's a very, very low percentage of people that would actually tick the box and say, I'm a New Age spiritualist. Now, I think that's partly because it's so nebulous. It doesn't have a defined way of belief or thinking. So it's actually really hard to tick a box and say I'm a New Age spiritualist because what does that actually mean? It's easy to tick Islam. It's easy to tick Christianity. It's easy to tick Hinduism because there's a defined set of understandings about what that is. But though it's not a dominant religion, New Age spirituality concepts dominate our culture. They dominate our understanding. They dominate what the world story is telling us at the moment about what it means to be happy, what it means to find truth, what it means to live. And I'm not even necessarily, I don't want to make it sound like it's wrong. I obviously don't believe it's right. I wouldn't be a Christian pastor if I thought that was the way it was. But it's really hard. You can't just say it's wrong, because it's that actually doesn't help. It doesn't move the needle in this space. And so what I want to do to finish off with is look at a major challenge and then give some ideas about how you might actually talk to someone who might be in this space. So one of the major challenges, and this is from a former New Age believer, New Age spirituality feeds your ego by teaching that there is no right, no wrong, no objective truth. Just the landscape of experiences that your soul goes through. There is no right, there is no wrong. It's really hard to pull a pin on that, because as soon as you say, no, this is the way these go, yeah, it is. They'll actually agree with you that the way you say is true. But then if you say, but that's the only truth, oh, sorry, actually, no, it's not the only truth. You can have your truth, I will have my truth. And where that clashes with Christianity is in what was read to us before. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus didn't give us this option. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Christianity is exclusive. It isn't a universal, whatever you're doing, whatever you're experiencing, that's okay. Christianity would say there is a way. And you need to find that way. And you need to explore and experience that way. Now, how do we help people come to maybe know Jesus, if that's something we're wanting to do? A great place to start is to start on common ground. And you might be surprised, there's more common ground than you might imagine. The reality is, Christians and those in New Age spirituality share a belief in the supernatural. For many people today, they don't actually think the supernatural is true. So the fact that you can start on that ground and say, supernatural is real, that's actually a good starting point. They desire a better future for the world. It is absolutely at the heart of New Age spirituality that they would say that the world is not as it should be. And Christians would say that the world is not as it should be. Having some discussions around the solution to that, that's where you might differ, but recognizing that that's where we start is a really helpful place. This is similar to the supernatural one, but it's not entirely the same. Both Christians and those exploring New Age spirituality recognize that there is more to life than what we experience now, that it's not all about today. And so, again, digging into, so what is there beyond this life? What is there beyond today? What is there beyond the physical? How do we explore and experience that? Again, you're going to get to differences pretty quickly, but that's where we're united. We have a belief that there is something beyond today. Some key points of difference. Sin. In New Age spirituality, evil doesn't necessarily exist. It's not that there's an evil in the world that we need to purge or get rid of or deal with. It's simply that people have lost their way. And so at some point, people are choosing to do actions that are not just good for them, but they're also hurting other people. And that's what causes the problem in the world. And so we need to make sure we resolve that. So sin is a point of difference. Doesn't really exist in New Age spirituality. Another one is grace. One of the best ways that people who come out of New Age spirituality, they speak about grace. Because the more you dig into New Age spirituality, the more you find that you get what you ask for. You get to define your own reality. You get to define your own way of living. You get to save yourself. And if you can't save yourself, if you can't fix your circumstances, if you can't fix what happens to you, if you have something horrific happen to you and you just can't get out of it, there is no way of fixing it other than through your own strength. There is no God's riches at Christ's expense. There is nothing else that's going to come in and provide you hope when you're hopeless, peace when you're restless. Because New Age spirituality gives you what you want. You get the apple. You get to be your own God and everything that comes with it. A bit like the genie. You get what you get. Grace says we recognize that actually we can't do it. We need Jesus. And so grace is really big for those that have come out of New Age spirituality. it's really hard to debate a New Age spirituality person into faith because logic, truth, and evidence are just not what they're worried about. It's not. They will agree with what you say. Yeah, that's your truth. Absolutely. You are right to say that. Oh, but there are other truths. And I'm exploring a different truth. It's pretty much a waste of time to try and evidence someone into faith who comes from a more New Age spirituality thought process. Here's a big one, though. Prayer is essential. It's particularly powerful for someone immersed in New Age spirituality because they're interested in the world beyond this life. And so pray, even pray with them. Very often they're actually open to be prayed for. So you can speak words of truth into their life and they will willingly let you pray them to them because they won't be worried about what that's going to do because it might just open up a new channel for them. But it means that they're open to prayer. Many New Agers who come to faith talk about having a very specific and strong experience of the person of Jesus. So don't be afraid to go to the person of Jesus and talk to them about Jesus and his experience to try and help center them on a place of hope. So a final thing is I want to read out a quote from Oprah Winfrey, which I don't do terribly often, but I'm going to today. I am a Christian who believes that there are certainly many more paths to God other than Christianity. I'm a free-thinking Christian who believes in my way, but I don't believe that it is the only way. With 6 billion people here on the planet, one of the biggest challenges that we have within Christianity and with the Christian faith today is many Christians try and blend New Age spirituality and Christianity. And they just don't go together. One has a completely different viewpoint of you have to get your own salvation. You may not agree with Christianity. You might struggle with Christianity. But Christianity is the only one that brings the hope of grace and not of having to do it yourself. Because ultimately in New Age spirituality, you get what you ask for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to be people who know your way, know your truth, and know your life. Help us this day and every day to choose you, to live for you. We pray that you would help us in this time, in this age, where New Age spirituality is rife. Help us to be people who bring your grace to a world that needs it. We thank you in Jesus' name.